I trust you did have a good day in the Lord today. Once again, we're going to be reading Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns." I'd like to have each head bowed once again, each eye closed, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Tracy if he'll lead us at this time. Tonight, we want to bring the next part, or we want to teach the next part of the series entitled, The False World Church. In the weeks prior, we have stated that here, set before us in Revelation 17, is the false world church headed up under Rome. As I stated in the weeks prior, there are many professing Christians in the world today. There are many today that profess Christianity, but many of these do not possess Jesus Christ. Therefore, they are not Christians. They are lost and on their way to hell. They need the Savior, the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, He is going to remove His own out of this world. He is going to receive them unto Himself. And those that's never been saved, although they profess to be saved, although they profess to be Christians, they are going to be left behind. And those that's left behind, they are going to get together. There's going to be a getting together. And we find that there's going to be one big world church headed up under Rome. And this is what we are studying about here in Revelation chapter 17. Now, someone may say, Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now, in the weeks prior, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon as recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. This we have already done. We stated that we were going to trace Babylonianism through the Scriptures till we come back here to Revelation 17. And then we were going to deal with these particular verses. Now, we've already dealt in the weeks prior with Babylonianism from the Old Testament Scriptures and some from the New. Because we've already dealt concerning this matter with Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and we've also begun dealing with this chapter, that being Revelation 17. In the weeks prior, when we begin dealing with this chapter, I stated that this chapter can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. I also stated that the key verse of this chapter is verse number 1. Let's read this verse once again. Here in this passage, the Word of God says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." This is the key verse in this chapter. We find that this verse tells us the theme or the subject of this chapter. The theme or the subject of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore, or the judgment of this false world church, this harlot church that the Word of God speaks of here in these particular verses. Now, in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verse number 1, and with the most part of verse number 2. For when we closed last week, we were dealing with this word drunk used here in verse number 2. Let's read verse number 2 once again. Here the Word of God says, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." You see, a harlot or an whore has those whom she has affairs with. And here we find these spoken of in verse number 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Last week, we stated that this word drunk here in verse number 2 has a spiritual application here. This word drunk here is used in a spiritual sense in verse number 2. Here the Word of God is speaking about those who will have been made drunk, religiously speaking. We find the doctrines of this false world church, or the teachings of this false world church, has an intoxicating effect. And people are made drunk, religiously speaking. Last week, I also stated that this verse tells us why it is so hard to deal with those that are deeply involved in false religion. This verse tells us here why it is so hard to get those involved in deeply in false religion, why it is so hard to get them to understand and see the truth concerning Jesus Christ and salvation. They have been made drunk, religiously speaking. And it's hard to deal with a drunk in the physical realm. And it's also hard to deal with a drunk in the religious realm. One that's drunk, religiously speaking. Now, just before we move on to verse number 3, I want to say this as well. There's no doubt in my mind that this false world church will provide a religion that pleases the masses. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that this false world church will provide a popular religion for the multitudes. She will provide a religion that pleases people. There's no doubt about that. And this should not surprise us. Before I say that, let me go back and say this. No doubt a person will be able to be a member of this church and lie, steal, gamble, drink like a fish, and still be in good standing with this church.
That'll be so. And you know, that should not surprise us, because this false world church is going to be headed up under Rome. And this is the way Rome, this is the way the Roman Catholic Church has always operated down through the years. All that she demands is loyalty to her program. You can live any way you want to live. You can be as mean as the devil, be as mean as the devil, and live any way that you want to live. As long as you come to Mass on a regular basis, you can remain in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church. You can be a member of the Roman Catholic Church and lie and still be in good standing with that church. Do you know the Roman Catholic Church teaches that under certain circumstances it's all right not to tell the truth? They teach that. So a person can lie and still be in good standing. Not only that, but a person can be a member of the Roman Catholic Church and still be in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church. You know that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that if you have an extreme necessity, it's all right to steal. As long as you don't steal anything worth over $40 at any one time. That's the truth. Not only that, but a person can be a member of the Roman Catholic Church and gamble and still be in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about bingo.
Right.
You listen? Did you know that bingo is an opening wage for more professional types of gambling?
Right. Amen.
It's an opening wage. Excuse me. We find that the Roman Catholic Church receives much revenue from gambling games such as bingo. Did you know that the Roman Catholic Church does not oppose legalized gambling? In 1958, New York State legalized bingo because of pressure from the Roman Catholic Church and from a few other groups. That's so. Not only that, but you can be a member of the Roman Catholic Church and drink like a fish and still be in good standing with the Roman Catholic Church. Because that church itself has entered into the whiskey business unashamed.
Right. Amen.
Certainly she has. The De La Salle Institute in Napa, California is just one of the many properties owned by the Roman Catholic Church that produces commercial alcohol and commercial wine and brandy. Just one of many. I know a preacher who was in Rome in 1967. While he was over there in Rome, he went through St. John's Church. St. John's Church, which is located in Rome, and right inside the four walls of that church, he saw whiskey being made and put up for sale by the priest and the monks who lived in the local monastery. The Roman Catholic Church has helped take children and turn them into alcoholics or drunkards. That's a better word. Surely this is so. And let me say this right here. Do you know that some Baptists are so ignorant today, some are so ignorant that they think that it's all right and that you should use alcoholic wine when observing the Lord's Supper? And I'm talking about people that call themselves Baptists. I got the little leaflet right here in my Bible. You'll see it after meeting tonight. Turn your Bible for a moment to Matthew 27. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this: "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" Notice verse 28. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine." It's not called wine there. It says here, "of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter number 14, and in verse number 25, the Word of God says this: "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine." The word wine is not used there. He says, "I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." You'll find that each time the Lord Jesus uses the words, "the fruit of the vine." You know what he was doing? He was carefully guarding. He was carefully guarding against the use of alcoholic wine when observing the Lord's Supper.
Right.
That's what he was doing. Always the fruit of the vine is used in connection with the Lord's Supper. Never the word wine. That's so. So we find no doubt. We find no doubt that that people will be able to live any way they want to live and still be in good standing with this false world church, because she will provide a popular religion for the masses. Now, let's begin noticing verse number 3. Here in verse number 3, the Word of God says this: "So he came away in the Spirit into the wilderness." Into the wilderness. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Now before I read verse number 9 in that chapter, I want you to look once again at verse number 1. Of chapter 17. Just hold your finger in chapter 21, and we'll look at that verse in just a few moments. Now notice verse 1 of chapter 17. As you study the Word of God, there are some Bible laws that you should remember. And one of those is the law of comparison and contrast. There are some passages in the Bible that you should compare, and you'll find some similarities. You'll also find there are some passages in the Bible that have some striking contrast, and you should notice these. Notice verse 1 of chapter 17. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, 'Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters.'" Now look at chapter 21, verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven life plagues, and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Chapter 17 is set before us. In chapter 17 is set before us the false world church. Here in chapter number 21, he said, before us, the true church, the bride of Christ. Now notice verse number 10. Remember what we read in verse number 3 of chapter 17? The Word of God says, so he carried me away in the Spirit in the wilderness. Notice verse 10 of chapter 21. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain to view this false world church. John, he's carried away in the Spirit in the wilderness to view this false world church. But to view the bride, the Lamb's wife, John is carried away in the Spirit into a great and high mountain. There's a vast difference. Now the word mountain here, I've dealt with that some prior or earlier during this series, so I'm not going to say much about it at this time. But this word mountain here has reference to spiritual elevation. But the word wilderness here in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 3 has to do with spiritual destitution and desolation. There's a difference. There's a difference. Do you know the first time that the word wilderness is used in the Bible? Is in Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 6. And there it is mentioned in connection with Sodom and Gomorrah. There it is mentioned in connection with a bad setting. The word wilderness. You should always watch for that word. Turn your Bible for just a moment to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. I want to point something out here. Matthew chapter number 3. In Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in those days, to find out what days is spoken of, you must read the closing verses of chapter 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching, not singing.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, don't you like good spiritual singing? I certainly do. I certainly do. I play at least one song on the broadcast each week. I like good spiritual singing, good songs sung by spirit-filled individuals. But here it says that John came preaching. If people are going to be saved, you're going to have to preach. And he says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the temple. It don't say that, does it? Verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the synagogue. Doesn't say that, does it? Says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in Jerusalem. Now, my Bible doesn't say that. The Word of God doesn't say that. But here verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. God stationed his prophet in the wilderness. He kept him outside the circle of religion. The Lord stationed his servant outside all the religious circles of that day. And it says he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. You know what the word wilderness there tells us as we read this passage? This word wilderness here tells us and symbolizes for us Israel's spiritual condition. Her spiritual condition was a barren condition. The word wilderness speaks about a barren place. And this word wilderness here tells us about the barrenness of Israel's spiritual condition.
Right.
Not only that, but to prove this, look at verse 2 and say, repent ye. Repent ye. And say, repent ye.
You don't need to say this. You don't need to preach this to a people who are walking in communion and fellowship with the Lord. But you need to preach this to a people who are away from the Lord. They were away from the Lord, and they were in a barren spiritual condition. Therefore, John came preaching in the wilderness. But look here in Revelation 17, in verse number 3. The Bible says, so he carried me away in the Spirit in the wilderness. In the wilderness. This tells us about the spiritual condition of this harlot, this false world church. The word wilderness here tells us clearly that God is not in this system. Amen. He has nothing to do with this false world church that is set before us here in this particular chapter. Now let's notice further. Dear Father, in verse number 3, the Word of God says, so he carried me away in the Spirit in the wilderness. And I saw a woman see it. Now you are to mark that word see it. And notice it careful. And I saw a woman see it upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads. And 10 horns. Now I'm going to deal with the word see it as it's found in verse number 3 a little later during this series. But before I deal with this word see it, I want to deal with this beast that's talked about here later in verse number 3. And once we understand what this beast is having reference to here, well, when we deal with this word see it, it'll have more meaning. Notice here in verse number 3. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The Lord here describes this beast. Now I want to look at this beast for a few moments tonight. First, I want you to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. Here in verse 7, the Word of God says this. And when they, now the word they has reference to the two witnesses in verse number 3. The two witnesses that are of the Lord. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now there's two witnesses spoken of here in chapter 11. And they're going to witness and prophesy for 1260 days, or in other words, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And we find that there's going to come a time, according to verse number 7, that this beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and shall kill them. Now this beast referred to here in verse number 11 is the same beast referred to in Revelation 17 and verse number 3. This beast that is referred to here in chapter 17, verse 3, and in chapter 11 and in verse number 7 is the Antichrist. The Antichrist. The Antichrist, according to the Apostle Paul, is going to be revealed following the rapture of the church. After the Lord takes His own out of this world, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And here in Revelation 17:3, He is called a beast. In Revelation chapter 11, in verse number 7, He is called the beast. This is referring to the Antichrist. Here in Revelation chapter 11 and in verse number 7 is the first time that he's called the beast in the book of the Revelation. In the book of the Revelation. Now let me say this as well. The Antichrist is spoken of many times in the book of the Revelation. But you'll find that he is referred to more times by the term the beast than he is any other. You'll find that he's called the beast more times in the book of the Revelation than he is any other term. Now, I've said that to say this. Jesus Christ is called the Lamb.
Amen.
32 times in the New Testament. But did you know that out of those 32 times, 28 of those are found in this same book, the book of the Revelation? The Lord Jesus is referred to as the Lamb 28 times in this same book where the Antichrist is referred to over and over and over again as the beast. Don't you see a contrast between the Lamb and the beast? The Lamb is the Savior of sinners. The beast is the slayer of saints. The Lamb is the harmless one. The beast is the heartless one. The Antichrist. Now I want you to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 13 while we're dealing with this, and I want to point some things out here. Revelation chapter number 13. When we come to this chapter, we find that there are two beasts that are set before us. One beast comes up out of the sea, and he is spoken of here in verses 1 through 10. Here in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And I stood upon the strand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns." And I'll come back to that in just a few moments. "Having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." This beast is spoken of in verses 1 through 10. Now notice verse number 11. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And I beheld another beast." That word "another" there in verse number 11 means another of the same kind. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now, if you read very many commentaries on the book of the Revelation, if you're not very careful, you'll become as confused as a yo-yo and a termite. And you'll find that people do not agree as to who these two beasts are here in chapter number 13. There is many people today that believe that this second beast here that comes up out of the earth is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to be a counterfeit Christ. He's going to counterfeit Jesus Christ in at least 22 different ways. I've dealt with that before during this series. And they believe that because of what is stated here, verse number 11, it says, "And he had 2 horns like a lamb." They believe because he's referred to here like a lamb, that he is counterfeiting the Lord Jesus. And this must be the Antichrist. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not so. The second beast here is not the Antichrist. You'll notice in Revelation chapter 5, turn your Bible for a moment to Revelation chapter number 5. They say the second beast is counterfeiting the Lord Jesus,
And how many horns does this second beast have?
Two.
It says, and he had two horns like a lamb.
Well, the Lord Jesus is certainly referred to as the Lamb in the book of the Revelation, but he has more horns than two. Notice Revelation 5, verse number 6.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb.
Here's the Lord Jesus.
Stood a lamb, as he had been slain, having seven tails, having seven horns,
and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So certainly the Lord Jesus is referred to in the book of the Revelation as the Lamb. But as the Lamb in the book of the Revelation, he has and is presented as having seven horns. This beast here in Revelation 13 has only two. Now listen to me. This first beast in Revelation chapter 13 is the Antichrist. This first beast mentioned in verses 1 through 10 of this chapter